we need to do is we're just all going to do our job and be professional.
I'm ready.
Okay, I know you are. Thank you, Danielle, for being here. I'd like to call the meeting to order.
Turn off your phones, people.
Little housekeeping. Could you please turn off your phones or turn them to vibrate? Thank you all for coming. I'd like to have a roll call, please, Danielle, when you get seated.
Vice President Barbas.
Here.
Treasurer Thompson.
Yes.
President Christian.
Yes.
Secretary Martin.
Here.
Commissioner Davis.
Here.
Could we please all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Date and time.
Today is Tuesday, January 16th, 2018, 6 p.m. Can I have an approval of the minutes for our special meeting Wednesday, December 13th, 2017?
Agenda.
I wanted to skip a couple steps tonight. How about an approval of the agenda? Thank you, Jan.
I have a couple of items to add.
Okay.
I'd like to talk about the Pack Choice Doc under new business.
That will be E.
And temporary pay adjustments for staff working out of class.
Old business B.
And like to talk about having Kim Boom be responsible to check Gary's email.
Could you repeat that, Jenna? Are you down here, please?
Sorry, Kim Boom to be responsible for checking Gary's email.
That will be F under new business.
I make a motion we accept the agenda as amended.
I have one item to for the extra duties of the staff and extra compensation for those duties.
That would be
and old business.
Okay, so the temporary pay.
Yes.
Yeah. Same issue, I think. I'll second Roger's motion.
Danielle?
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Can I have an approval of the minutes for the special meeting Wednesday, December 13th, 2017? And I asked the commissioners, we're in a bigger room without microphones, so if you could speak loudly for the public.
I have some issues with each of the minutes, and I've talked to Danielle, and we're going to get together and go over them, and we'd like to bring them back to the commission at the next meeting or two.
Okay. I found a few things also, so I can get those to you.
So move to continue that to the next meeting.
Second.
Can I speak loud, please?
We have approval of minutes number 4 here, 4A. Is that what we're speaking of?
Yes. We're going to pick them up at the next meeting. Well, if after the vote, if we approve it. Sorry.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
No.
Can I have an approval of the regular meeting Tuesday, December 19th, 2017?
Oh, I thought that was for all four. My motion was for all four.
Excuse me. All right, so all four are moved.
The motion is for all four.
Okay. Move to next regular meeting, or was that next Tuesday meeting?
We can probably get it done by the next Tuesday meeting, depending on when I talk to commissioners.
So that will be our goal. Financial review.
I don't know if Kim has sent it to the other commissioners, but she and I have talked about getting back to a weekly update, and she sent me a draft format today that I thought was excellent.
I got an email as I was leaving. So.
Yeah, I did
yeah.
too.
So she wants to know if she should keep that up. Kim
I think she should keep it up because it keeps us approved. The main thing I look at is what we're behind.
Can you speak up, please?
What we're behind on our receivables is one of the most important things I look at and see where things are going. I think it's critical we keep that coming on a weekly basis.
And I think it's suitable to go on the website along with the operational reports we're getting from Travis and the staff so that we have a relatively complete weekly report going up as we used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, staff okay with that?
Sure.
I went and talked to Kim today about some major differences between this December, the previous December, and the previous year. Obviously, the fuel sales were way down because of the delay in the crab season. And then also, the boat launch revenue seemed unusually high, but a lot of people came in at the end of December and bought their annual boat launch permits. But I also mentioned to her that during the next budget cycle, we may want to consider accruing that over a month instead of taking that revenue just in December to show in the books if it's something that's spread out over a long period of time.
Andy, that's been going on for a while now for some reason. I sort of questioned also, but I figured it was renewals before any price went up.
But just so it doesn't, you know, I think it'd be better to track those numbers as the revenues earned. The other number that it's hard to predict is the RV park. If somebody calls today and makes a reservation for July 4th, we're taking that revenue today. So I think during the next budget cycle, we should consider going to an accrual basis for some of those line items.
I agree. Any other discussion on the financial review?
I make a motion to accept the financial review as written.
I'll second that.
Vice President Barber.
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson.
Yes.
President Christian.
Yes.
Secretary Martin.
Yes.
Commissioner Davis.
Yes.
Operational report.
So this is just something that we threw together real fast, just to kind of update the commission on where we're at on things, if we are. If you have any questions, you can probably ask Brent.
I thought this was a really nice report. Thank you to staff for putting it together.
Yes.
I agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to see these going up with the weekly financial on the website.
Okay. So.
Any other comments on the operational report?
I'll save mine.
Thank you.
you know, as one that doesn't come to these meetings too often, I know we just covered a couple things. Could you tell me where we are at right now in the packets for our numbers, letters,
we
what
are,
we're discussing?
Yeah, sorry. We are on number 6, the operational report.
Okay.
So that is page 53.
Okay.
It is front and back, so.
Do we need a motion to approve the operational report?
Yes, please.
I so move.
I second.
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
Where was it again in the package?
53. We're moving along faster than we're able to keep up with the thing I'm getting. Again, being new to these meetings, are these packets made available to the public days before, or is this just before the meeting, prior to?
You have that hard copy right there, so you pick that up the day of, but the full packet is online.
So it's online available.
It's just a lot of paper.
Okay.
So you kind of get the Reader's Digest version of it.
Okay.
So Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Okay, I have some, I don't see anything on my comments that are agenda related, except I have two comments. One, and I'm sorry, but I can't read your writing. Bill, maybe Wood, and yeah. And it says all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so I'd like for you to come up here and sit down, sir,
sure.
So that our minutes are recorded properly and they can pick up. So well, if you'll state your name.
Bill Wood.
Thank you.
I'd just like to comment on things that I don't quite know what the board's going to do.
Is this on an agenda-related comment? Is this agenda related?
It's what you're doing here, I think. So yeah, it's about everything you have to. If I have a comment that I can comment on, I will.
Okay.
That's it.
So do you have a comment like on the port rates or the write-offs, boat shop?
Not at this moment, no. Things that bother me, I will let you know what they are. How's that?
Well, that's not our standard procedure. Usually, if you have a agenda-related comment, let's say you're interested in the port rates. Now would be the time to say, if you're like, say you have a boat down there and you have something to say about the rates that could be changed, could not be changed.
Let me think about this for a minute. I perhaps misinterpreted what you're trying to do here. If you want public comment from me, I will give you public comment on things that bother me. I just got here and looking at your agenda, so I haven't formed that yet.
So could this possibly be something on a non-agenda related, and I could move you to when we do those?
That would be probably better.
Okay, very good.
How's that?
That's great.
Okay.
Thank
so am I done now?
You are for
okay,
right
cool.
now.
All
thank
right.
you. And I have Gary Klein that wants to ask a question. Is this agenda related?
Maybe. Can I go there, Sam?
Please, and state your name.
Yeah. Trying to get ready for crab and going through this is not easy.
Well, we appreciate you being here.
Oh, I appreciate me being here too. You know, my name is Gary Klein.
And what agenda item does this address?
It would address a question I have for the board.
But what agenda item?
How about maybe firing the manager?
That's not on our agenda tonight. So should I put you...
Well, maybe I have other ones. Maybe there's other agenda items. I didn't see the agenda because I was writing the whole time what I was going to say. So I really wasn't paying attention to the agenda. But I'm going to read. Hang on a second.
No, why don't we put you on the non-agenda?
That's what I am. I'm a non-agenda. That's what I signed up for.
Actually, you didn't, but okay.
I think I did.
You just said...
Can I be a question on the non-agenda? That's what I meant. Should I fill something else out?
No. I'll put you on the non-agenda. Thank you, Gary.
I'm almost ready.
I won't accept this. Because it should have been for the meeting. Okay, old business, port rates, July 1st, 2018. We need to schedule a workshop date so we can start discussing these rates. Does anyone have a preference? This is something we need to move on with budget to meet our time restraints with the budget process.
It suggests on here January 23rd.
That was just a suggestion. Just because you guys are going to be having your regular meetings every Tuesday, that way you're not putting extra meetings in the week than needed.
Does anyone have any preferences?
It's a workshop, so it's open to the public, but we wouldn't generally take public comment. And there wouldn't typically be a vote. It's just discussion.
Anybody has a vote on a board here, can they have a vote on this?
It would then come into a regular meeting where you would have public comment.
No, I'm asking if one of the commissioners has a vote in discussing rates, can they have a vote?
That's not a question for me, so I don't have a question.
We'll get back with you on that.
It's a conflict of interest.
Is there someone who could address the question?
We could check with Port Council, but as I understand the public ethics law on that, if it's to do with a class of people, so leaseholders are a class, probably they would be able to participate. And if it's to do with a individual deal like your lease, then there would be a conflict of interest. But the point is, if anybody on the board feels that they have that issue and wants to consult with Port Council, that's their responsibility. It's an individual board member's responsibility.
And yours, or his, or hers, or his, or his.
Yeah. It's not a board responsibility.
The point being, if you have a vote and you're having a vote on what the fees are going to be, if one of the commissioners have a vote, that's going to affect their, course. Can they have a vote?
If the rates are the same for everybody, if you're having a vote about a 25-foot slip or a 40-foot slip.
The question is, if a commissioner has a vote, can they vote?
Yes, if they're talking about the overall rate for a broad group, if they're talking about their individual arrangement with the port, if it's different, then somehow they can't.
Okay.
It could be a declared conflict of interest prior to, and
okay, so is everyone all right with having a workshop next Tuesday instead of
the 30th? Works better for me.
30th? Roy?
I'd just like to see January 23rd done and everybody be there or can't be there. Period. Okay. The end. Not this doesn't work
I'm
for
okay.
me, it works better for me.
Either day works great with me.
I'm in May.
But I don't think we should cancel our weekly meeting. I think we should have a workshop and a meeting.
Okay. And how long of a workshop? And would you like to have it before or after the meeting?
I'll leave that to the president.
why don't we have to give staff time to gather the information that the commissioners are going to need for the workshop? Why don't we have it on Tuesday the 30th? And why don't we have the meeting, the workshop first, and then the meeting?
And I think all we need is current rates for everything, Danielle, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, there you go.
What time would the workshop be then?
That's what we're discussing, sir.
Okay.
And that will allow time for the commissioners to talk to the staff or any other comparisons from other courts on any of the rates. Because I'm afraid a week just isn't enough time for you to get everything together.
That's
fine.
So would anyone like to start the workshop earlier than the 6 o'clock, like 4 o'clock?
I'd like to see it about 4, Angie.
That's fine with me.
Andy?
Yep. Just tell me what time show up.
All right, would someone like to make a motion on the workshop for the 30th at 4?
I move to have a workshop on January 30th at 4 o'clock preceding our weekly meeting.
Location, Jim?
To be determined by staff.
When we're at the 5 o'clock, though, I mean, 2:00 to 5 is the work hours usually.
I don't know. That's the thing, we schedule meetings that's conducive to the commissioners and everybody here, but what about the public? Did you ask what time they're able to make the meeting? So it's a public meeting.
Sir, I appreciate this being your first meeting here.
I understand.
And we do have...
You want the public to show up, correct?
Absolutely.
Well,
but we have a protocol here.
I'm sorry?
So,
I made a motion for 4 o'clock, and I haven't heard a second.
I'll second it.
Danielle.
Vice President Barbas.
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson.
Yes.
President Christian.
Yes.
Secretary Martin.
Yes.
Commissioner Davis.
Yes.
B, pay adjustment, temporary pay.
So when you and I, Commissioner, President Christian and I met with staff, I guess last Monday, a week ago Monday, we discussed that we have some people picking up extra duties, and so we discussed there'd be some overtime, and we also discussed there could be some pay adjustments, and I'd like to move that Travis Webster evaluate those and take care of those and also oversee the overtime.
Could you repeat that, please, Jim?
Yeah, I'd like Travis Webster to take a look at the staff request for temporary pay adjustments for work out of class, and also to monitor staff overtime.
So has Travis been assigned as any type of department head?
Travis was assigned to be the operations person in charge.
So that's
the outside. But I've talked to staff and to Travis, and this may be the best way to do this, so we don't have to go through these. If the board goes through these, then we need to do it in open session and discuss each person's requests. If staff does it, then it's a staff decision.
But Travis Webster is a department head.
He's a temporary person overseeing the outside duties.
I'm trying to get what that title would be.
He doesn't have a title. It's a temporary... For responsibility. Oh, excuse me. This is the board speaking, sir, please. It's... Travis is doing extra duties temporarily to oversee the outside duties that are being done by the field.
So is harbor master...
No.
Temporary interim?
No. Well, I'm not sure what you're trying to, what point you're trying to make.
I'm trying to make a point of what, we're going to give him extra pay and extra duties, and I'm trying to figure out what that title is.
As far as I know, Travis himself has not asked for any extra pay. His comment to me was that he was paid enough.
Same comment.
He would be looking at the other staff who have some requests.
Are they going to
bring and monitoring the overtime.
Are they going to bring their request back to the board?
No.
All to Travis, so...
We would be...
Travis,
the motion
do anything
is,
he wants, what you're saying.
Yeah.
With that, no oversight.
Well, first of all, I will second the motion so we can have this discussion.
I would accept an amendment to the motion if you have a way to formulate any restrictions that you would like. We could designate one commissioner to do this. We could designate...
We have a second on the table.
We're discussing that. She said second for discussion, and it's open for discussion. So I'm trying to address your point that if you have a want to put some restrictions on, I'm willing to accept that those amendments, or if you have another different way to do this, we can. I can withdraw it, and we can go that way.
Do you have any other questions, Roy, or suggestions?
No.
So the staff told you, or told both of you, correct, that they wanted to see Travis in charge of the outside operations and play more of a leadership role with the staff.
Actually, so, Danielle suggested it, and Travis graciously agreed and stepped up to the plate.
We did not at that time discuss him overseeing the
no.
pay adjustments. Are you guys, is staff okay with Travis looking at that?
I would like to talk about, I'd like to have one or two commissioners look over what Travis suggested in, because we're the ones ultimately responsible for the bottom line.
Can you speak up so the rest of us can hear?
Well, I'm going to amend my motion based on Roger's comment, so I think I'll make it clear. So I'm amending the motion to include in consultation with Treasurer Thompson.
Which is?
The motion was for Travis to review and approve the temporary pay adjustments and to stay on top of overtime. And I'm amending the motion to include with consultation of Treasurer Thompson.
Who is already the liaison in the field right now. I will second that. Is there any further discussion?
What, don't you already have a park commission or a port manager that did that?
Sir, please. Come on, Bill. You've been to enough meetings. Danielle, vote, please.
Vice President Barbas.
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson.
Yes.
President Christian.
Yes.
Secretary Martin.
Yes.
Commissioner Davis.
No.
Okay, new business write-offs.
Danielle. So both, there's two accounts. They both got taken out of the water. We hauled them out. They've been sitting in our boatyard for a while. Then they just stopped paying. So then we did the lien process, both liens became foreclosed, and they were put on to public surplus, but they did not sell the first time around. So then we became court surplus. So I am asking to write off these two accounts.
Okay. Question, Danielle.
I might not be able to
answer. Well, somebody has to answer. Okay, on the second one, I'll call it, on the 24-foot Gladiator sailboat sloop, it said we got a bid of $500. Why didn't we take it? Our minimum bid was 500.
Oh, the reserve was not met.
What reserve?
Says up at the top, final price.
500, first offer 500.
Well, I don't know.
And Gary was directed to sell them whatever cost it could, no matter if it didn't make the minimum or not.
Okay.
Well, I think he was directed to use his judgment.
Well, if you get your minimum bid, you should take the bid.
So is this something that we can put back on?
Idea.
Put them in a dumpster.
Skyler.
My name is Skyler Windham. I work in the board office and I handle the lien and the abandoned boats in the yard. That vessel that they're talking about was put up for auction. We did receive a bid. The reserve was not met. We accepted the lower offer, and then the person has the choice whether to actually complete the process or not. In that case, they did not follow through and pay within 5 days, so it came in quote surplus.
Thank you, Skyler. I make a motion we take the write-offs as suggested.
I'll second that, but I do have a question. So what are we going to do with these vessels now? Do we have a plan? Are we going to put them back on auction? That sounds good. Back on auction sounds good.
Yes.
So motion's been made and seconded.
Any other discussion? Roy, Andy?
Vice President Vargas?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Boat Shop and More, LLC draft lease agreement.
Yes, I would like to ask a question. It's on page 63 of our packet, page 1 of the lease. Rental rate, why is it only 5.75 cents and not 7 cents? I thought our...
I don't know. I have no idea. It was already
Well,
done.
I thought our lease rate for businesses with unimproved land was 7 cents a kilowatt, 7 cents a square foot.
I don't know.
Roger, I think this was done before Gary was terminated, and I don't believe that the staff sitting before us has the knowledge to give an answer to your question.
Well, I have several things that I'm concerned with, and I would like to check on the rates, our current rates, before approving a lease for 5 years and committing us to a rate that is lower than what we're currently charging.
So I think what we did, actually the prior board did, was, well, I think it came back to us when we first met as well, because we adjusted it. We had a gear storage rate, but I'm not clear there's ever been an established bare ground rate. But what we did is we negotiated one with BC Fisheries that was 7 cents, and then we have been using that, but I don't think it's been formally adopted. I think there have been a couple others now that have that same rate.
I think.
But I don't know that we ever said we now have a bare ground rate. So that would be like in our next rate adjustment.
But I think didn't Ocean Harvesters pay at 7 cents?
Yeah, I believe
so. We've set a precedence since that time.
Yes, I think that has been the going rate since July.
So that's one issue that I would like to be addressed.
Okay.
I have just a quick question.
No, sir.
Can I ask a question?
Sir, no, not right now.
Oh, just following that. Yeah, first meeting.
I'd also like to see if there's any other correspondence between Kinney and the port. Because when I talked to Gary about this a month ago, I thought he was increasing the space that he was going to be leasing for the to account for the space where he had other boats stored, you know, clear out to the paved area.
I believe that that was discussed, but then once he realized how much it was going to cost, then he decided to take away some.
Okay. So one of the concerns I had was about the space where in front of his shop, where you kind of turn in, that area is often full with what I think is stuff associated with his business, but it isn't on the in the leased rate. I'm not referring to the area towards Lower Harbor Road. I'm referring to the area directly, I think east or northeast of the shop. There's a small area for parking, but you can see in the photos there's boats extending well beyond that. So,
Jan, are you talking about this area or this area?
I am talking about the second area you circled, where you're saying yes.
Okay, that's one of my concerns, and then this down here also.
This area where the parking is shown in front of the shop. I don't know if he's been using that. I don't know if
there's four boats in the photo.
Yeah.
And why isn't this area that's fenced in behind his business included in it?
So I think we need to probably have an interim manager to pursue this further.
I agree.
So do we know what his current status is? Is he going month to month if we don't do this?
He's right here. You can ask him.
Hi. Oh.
No.
No, that's Russell.
That's Russell.
Let them hand up, though.
Danielle, is he month to month?
I would assume that he would be month to month right now.
Okay. I'd like to see us wait.
So we're going to continue this till we have an interim manager.
Russell?
I would like to know how come I was recently charged 7 cents a square foot for dirt, and he's going to pay 5.75 cents a square foot.
Russell, that's why we're waiting, and that's okay. One thing that
the commissioners issue I had, Angie,
yes.
Was when I talked to Gary about leases in the past, you guys actually wanted to try to change my lease from the lease I have to a 3 year, because I was told the leases will no longer be given in the port over 3 years, and you have them for a 5 year lease here. So
there's I don't think we're aware of any policy of only 3 years.
Yeah. Our standard lease is 3 years.
Thank you to come out in the past minutes of meetings.
I don't believe that
agreed on 3 year leases.
Russell, I don't believe that that's been made a policy, and that is certainly something that needs to be checked in also.
Why'd you shove down his throat then?
Yeah, why are we nickel diamond the guys around here that are local business that are bringing all the public into these businesses?
Sir, please.
That's what I'm here for.
Okay, this is not what we're trying to do.
This is what I'm here for. You're nickel and diamond people to pay
order.
Good money.
Order.
To bring shitloads of business into this
sir,
port.
Please.
That's fine, but I'm going to make my voice known.
Thank you, sir.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, so we are going to
move to continue this until we have an interim port manager.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Any more discussion with the board?
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Port of Brookings Harbor budget schedule calendar.
Well, one thing, looking over the calendar, I don't see where we're going to advertise for budget committee members from the public. which needs to be done.
So I think we're going to appoint a budget officer about a month ahead of the first budget committee meeting, and at that time we ought to task the budget manager to determine who is currently on the budget committee, to contact those people, and to determine who we need to advertise for, and then that person, the budget officer, could arrange to have that done. I think that's absolutely so must be done, but it looks like there's time between the appointment and the first meeting.
I agree.
Okay.
Are we going to adopt this budget tonight, Jesus?
The calendar?
The calendar.
I make a motion to adopt the budget calendar as written.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion from the board? Danielle?
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
And we have Representative David Brock Smith with us this evening to give us an update.
So when my chief of staff scheduled this meeting, it was back in early January, and so I didn't realize we would have so many folks here. So, normally we do a town hall. Oh, sorry, President Christensen and Commissioners David Brock Smith, State Representative, House District 1. Normally we try to do a legislative update twice a year. We were down in, Senator Cruz and I were down here during mid-session. And then the fire happened and lots of other things. And so I tried to, I'm scheduling, this is the first of the legislative update throughout district where I can meet with all the port commissions, school boards, city councils, and the four counties and their commissions within my district. Most of you I've already put on my newsletter list so that you can, I can bore you with all of those things. I just wanted to hit a few points for the port board, because I know that you have some folks that want to talk. Can everybody hear me back there?
Yes.
So a few points. We were able to, due to a lot of work actually by Senator Cruz, to make sure that we didn't get the $3 million for the Port of Brookings, but we were able to get $300,000 in lottery.
$600,000.
Well, that's right. $600,000 in lottery bonding for the port. And recently, I believe my chief of staff worked with you and making sure and connected you with Business Oregon to get that work done with regards to that grant to pay off the, was it $1.5 million?
The bridge loan.
The bridge loan.
Bridge loan.
The original work. other things, I did pass a draft and pass House Bill 2499, which was the vessel permits bill. It was geared towards our fishermen who, you know, especially in some of our smaller ports, their permits are really their retirement nest egg. And they're, of course, limited. And so we want to make sure that they stay in the ports that they're fishing out of now, rather than being bought by the larger ports and taken up to Newport and where have you. So this really allows for the ability to have an expedited injunction if they were to sell it to someone local and the terms were not fulfilled. They can get the injunction, get the permit back so that they can fish again and continue with their livelihood. Some other legislation was some housing for middle-income families. And so I'm not gonna get into a whole litany, because again, you've already seen the legislative updates. I will talk about a few things in the interim. I am very sorry to our fishers that were affected by the ground sport ground fish closure. It was a horrible miscommunication from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. They were taken to the woodshed repeatedly, Ed Bowles especially. We were able to work with ODF&W and were able to not only get the bag limit increased from 7 to 10 for the long leader ground fishery outside 40 fathoms. That started October 1st. I know that didn't give a lot of solace to a lot of folks, but it was a it was something that the Coastal Caucus has taken very very hard and a hard look at the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife when it comes to our ground fishery, and they will be in much better contact with the legislature and within the Coastal Caucus to make sure that we have up-to-date information, because it took us by surprise. We didn't know what was going on. We will start session again on February 5th. Out of session, a lot of work was, of course, done on the Chetco Bar Fire and the recovery. There has been a number of grants that have been fulfilled to the city of Brookings with regards to a grant, $50,000 grant coming from EDA in combination with another $40,000 grant from the state to look at the economic study of the impact, as well as a $30,000 grant for Business Oregon for water quality testing to make sure that the cities and harbor water is not getting silted in. We also, the majority of my work has been dealing with the Energy and Environment Committee that I'm on, which is a cap and invest bill that is being presented. We should have it out tomorrow on OLIS. What it's modeled after the California carbon tax. It's a bad piece of legislation that doesn't belong in a 35-day short session. It is, in essence, for those that don't know how it works, they put a cap on industry. It's going to be at 25,000 metric tons of CO2 emission, and then they charge for credits, and then they give allowances, and it will generate from industry and residents roughly $1.4 billion the biennium, which is going to be an increase on everyone. I have filed competing legislation and I was able to get Senator Roblin to chief sponsor it with me, that looks at really this. The simplicity of the fact that every tree that we have is basically grown with the sequestered greenhouse emission. Literally, the diesel that goes down the road builds that tree that we have in our forest. And over 60% of the greenhouse emissions that are produced in Oregon, which this is all on the global scale, is only 0.14% to the global scale. And so to charge the residents $1.4 billion for that 0.14%, I think is ridiculous. When we're not looking at the fact that although we sequester 60% in Oregon's forest, 30% is released through wildfire, dead and dying and decaying trees. And so the argument really is, why aren't we looking at that sector where we can make an immediate impact and sequestering the carbon for generations, because once you turn it into a stick, that's what you do. And so it's meant to broaden the discussion through the interim, slow this bill down, and save the taxpayers the dollars, because there will be a fuel tax on that as well. So the other bill is the companion to the workforce housing for middle-income families, but it's a residential property piece of housing. I will be back after February to give you a legislative update, and I'm more than willing to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
You're very welcome.
Did you have a bill number on the carbon tax?
We don't have, they're just LCs, so they're not on OS. But the bill number, the bill will be up, it should be up tomorrow. So I'm sorry, I do not yet.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You very much.
Thank you.
E, Park Choice Dock.
Yeah, so we have, I think Jack Aiken is with us, and we have, I think Brett from is with us. So if you guys want to come up and pull up a chair, I invite you up if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
And let me just lay this out. Jack, you haven't had a chance to see that on the tech. And Brett, if you want to copy. And there's two extras. I've already given one to the press. So anything else. The history here, this is the dock that's between BC Fisheries and the steel wall. And the history is that Ted Fitzgerald, former port manager Ted Fitzgerald, commissioned Dave Gower Engineering to take a look at that dock, and that's the report that we've got here. It was in May 16, 2016, and Mr. Gower recommended closing that dock at that time. And as you can see, we're about getting on a year and a half, 2 years down the road from then. So,
Jim, could you maybe just read the conclusions and recommendations?
The conclusion of the Mr. Gower's report, the existing receiving dock is in a dilapidated condition and is in need of substantial repair, both locally and globally. It is unclear the extent of bearing erosion under the concrete paving, resulting in all paving being suspect regarding bearing capacity and its ability to support the working dock loads. It is my opinion that the dock should be taken out of service until a comprehensive repair solution is developed and repairs have been implemented. So again, some time has gone by. Mr. Gower was at the port in November for an unrelated issue. He saw that this dock had not been taken out of service, brought it to Gary Dellinger's attention. There was a long series of emails, and at some point Mr. Gower CC'd the commission, but we were mostly focused on the main issue, the main reason he was out at the port. We way back in the email chain, he brings this up again, and he says the dock, he believes, is subject to catastrophic failure. And
somebody opened the dock back up after.
Yeah, because I'm not getting where you're coming from either, Jan. That dock was clearly condemned, and
there's no motor on the hoist.
Correct.
You don't tie boats there. There's no room. You correct. Could, but we don't. We don't let anybody tie there.
Correct.
The office is still there, the freezer is still there, my tote storage is still there. We're still there.
Okay. Well, let me clarify to Roy. So part of the dock has been closed and fenced off, and we're leasing the remainder of the dock, and that's what Mr. Gower has objected to. He says the whole dock needs to be closed off.
The part that's back beyond the, that's back beyond where the pavement meets the concrete?
So I think he's talking
between BC's dock,
abandoned dock,
and the next 40 feet of my dock to up to where the hoist is.
It's 67 more feet of frontage and 20 to 30 feet deep over water.
Okay, I'll wait till see what Brett and Jack have to say.
So in any event, the rest of the story goes, there was the email in November, but I think, I don't know about the other commissioners, but I didn't read several pages back and catch the unrelated comment about the dock at that time. I did see it this weekend when I was reviewing. So last week, Mr. Gower was out again for an unrelated issue, and he spoke to Travis about the dock, and ultimately I was asked to go meet with Travis, and I met with Travis. We looked at the dock, and Travis asked our current engineer, Jack Aiken, to look at the dock. And Jack has not yet had a chance to look at the dock, but I believe he will in the morning, if that's what the board desires. And I've let Brett know what's going on here, and the question before us is, what I think Jack will say, I'm going to tell you what Jack and I have discussed, and then the board can ask him questions. But Jack says when you have a report like this, where an engineer has told you to close a structure and it's unsafe, you really need to do that. And you can't just hire another engineer and have them say it's safe. But what could happen is that we could close the dock, Jack could take a look at it, and then he might work with Mr. Gower to determine if there are some conditions under restricted load or something where we could use this facility, or determine if, I think you're already restricting the load somewhat.
Yeah,
so
we just have,
yeah. Yeah. Question? Okay. So those are the options before us are to do nothing, which is what's been going on for a year and a half, but I think that given that Mr. Gowers has been very persistent and has informed us that this dock is potentially subject to catastrophic failure, would be irresponsible, in my opinion, as a commissioner, to do nothing. We could close it right now and work with Jack and Dave Gower to see if we can craft a solution, which is what I would prefer. The other option would be to leave it open and work with Jack and Mr. Gowers to craft a solution, which I would not favor. But I'd like to let it for discussion. So, because the commissioners are not aware of this, this is an added agenda. They're going to probably want to ask Mr. Aiken and Brett questions, and I think we want to hear their comments. And so I'm done introducing the subject.
Well, my first concern is safety.
Sir.
Well, I read this, and I've on number two of his conclusion recommendations. It is unclear the extent of the bearing erosion underneath the concrete paving, result in all paving being suspect regarding bearing capacity, his ability to support the working load. Did Mr. Gower ever get in a boat and go underneath the dock, or even take the ladder down and look underneath it? I mean, what I'm seeing, he walked by it, you go over to the dock at Hallmark, and it's way worse looking. And not bitching about that one. So my question, I've looked underneath, but I'm not an engineer. My background's wood. And it looks pretty dang good, solid underneath that.
Yeah, some of it, you better look again.
Okay.
Some of it was pretty darn bad. I'm pretty sure that when he inspected it, he went through the surface of the dock where it's collapsed and went underneath. He didn't have to get in the boat. Hmm. Especially the north end or the south end is really bad. So,
well, I don't want to get anybody hurt. That's for dang sure.
Nah, I don't either. Part of the problem is we're at the public hoist, or the old public hoist, which, when a boat needs fuel, a big boat, when they get a tanker truck in, where do they fuel? At the seawall, at my hoist. So I'm basically keeping that dock clear, so the fuel trucks can come, so Travis can come with the boom truck. There's a lot that goes on there, and you know, Danielle coordinates it through me, through Lance. It's a pain in the butt. I'm not sure what the solution is to all this, other than fixing the old dock.
So what you're saying, every time we send high reach or whatever it's called. I call it the machine.
Basically, I need the old dock. Like I said, my office is there, our bay freezer is there, or you're going to lose the seawall to fuel to the boom truck.
So that means the only hoist left, other than Hallmark's and BC Fisheries, is Bornstein's. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
I'm sorry, you would not have a hoist?
No, I would have a hoist, but my stuff would be there now. I can't move it for the fuel truck. I can't move it for the boom truck. I just have little stuff that's mobile right now. But like I say, you condemn that dock, you move my office over there, you can move my freezer, my forklift shacks, you know.
So I guess my question, if this dock gets shut down, we decide to shut it down by the Shaken's recommendations, that leaves the only hoist on that side, the only place to get is...
No, we're talking about the old...
One is all
so we would have my hoist and the Bornstein hoist on the seawall.
Okay. So we're talking about the other two hoists going east towards BC Fisheries where they collapsed it when they broke the...
Yeah, there was the one hoist there.
The retainment
hoist. That hoist is no longer usable.
But we're talking about the next dock over now.
We're talking about the seawall. The old public hoist. That's where all the port, that's where every boat switches their gear over. It's where they take fuel. I'm just saying, if I put my stuff over there now, my office, my bait freezer, my forklift shacks, there's not going to be room for that. Does that make sense?
So potentially, maybe fuel could go over the condemned dock because there's really no load involved in that, I don't think.
Well,
how close does it have to get to the...
Thousands of gallons of fuel.
Sir.
All the way to the truck, yes.
I assume they have a line more than 30 feet long?
Well, they usually pull up right next to where they're unloading.
Right.
Yeah.
I've done it for a long time.
Thank you.
So are we talking about the danger of you moving your forklift across this or unloading across it?
Basically moving the forklift across it. We were storing some stuff out there, and Gary asked us a couple months ago to move it, which I did. So I guess I'm basically paying for unusable.
So the dock, your hoist is on. This is leased to Bank BC Abandoned Fisheries, right? Our lease is with BC Abandoned Fisheries on that hoist.
Correct.
That's one you use.
Yes.
We're not talking about that dock. We're talking about the dock towards BC Fisheries from there.
That is the dock, right? I am still using a portion of that. We're not using the hoist. We're not tying boats to it. I'm driving the forklift across it.
Is the hoist you're using right now on the seawall?
Yes.
Okay. That's all that. Okay. Now I got it in my head.
I'm just saying, if I move all my stuff over there.
So basically, behind, all that dock is being used for today is for you to store stuff.
Like I said, my office sits on it. Yeah. All our stuff is still there. They just took the motor off the place, put up a fence.
What if your stuff was moved over by where some of the old freezers are, crab pot storage used to be? I'm talking about the canal by the ice plant.
Yeah, you could open some of that up.
Could open some of that easily. Open that up. Cancel that lease over there. Write a new lease for that ground over there.
So you just have to reconfigure that area, basically.
Correct.
Have to do.
Why could we not do something so simple?
Or even, isn't the right behind you, is that the staging area that nobody really leases? That's just like an open...
Yeah, it's a parking area. Like I say, it's crabbier now.
Yeah, it's truck turnaround. There's all kind of stuff that goes on there.
There used to be a road that went... The road used to go all the way through there. And then BC shut that down somehow, put a fence up. That was actually Harbor Drive, by the way.
But would that work for pack choice, Brett?
We can make something work.
So maybe we could contact Dave Wright and relocate you to an area that certainly could be better utilized than it's being utilized right now.
I believe so.
Jack.
Could
I just want to make something clear. I have made no recommendations about shutting down the any particular area. All I was suggesting was that we don't try to develop an independent engineering opinion that would fly in the face or agree with either one would not be particularly productive or useful to you from another engineer. That would be better to work with the existing engineer who has already stated an opinion. And regarding shutting down this section or opening up that section, I would like to clarify with Mr. Gower myself as an engineer and see why that particular area can't be used temporarily or what temporary actions could be taken. You'll notice a very, and you alluded to it, Roger, I want to underline the general closure notes. The opinions expressed in this report are based on visual examination of the subject property to the extent that the reported features were visible and accessible at the time of the inspection. No tests, calculations, or detailed engineering analysis were undertaken or are implied as part of this inspection assignment. So I believe the man did a good job. He did a general statement. I'll tell you as an engineer, if I see a concern to safety, I will always err on the conservative side. I'll always state, I'd rather close a site down than be responsible for somebody getting hurt, and that could also hurt me professionally as an engineer. So I'm gonna be conservative. This is a very conservative report with no tests or evaluations, as you alluded to. I would like to get Mr. Gower and get detail about, you know, rather than closing the whole thing down just on one big statement, let's go over this and find out what the problems are specifically. And I think that's in your best interest.
And I guess one of the questions I'd ask, can he leave his stuff there and his fork over safely?
Can you speak louder?
Is there any, what is, can you put a weight restriction on it, in his opinion?
Yes. You, that's parts of what, why you want to talk about loading, you want to talk about what area should be cordoned off, what area shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. That is not done here, and you wouldn't expect it in this kind of, this is a preliminary report.
Jack, what would you consider to be a good guess on a time frame for you to meet with Dave and make a recommendation back to the board?
I'll make my time available for any time he's available. I'll contact him once. I don't know him. I haven't spoken with him. So I would want to contact him as soon as possible. Get this thing unraveled a little bit.
Yes.
So are you, if you go take a look at this in the morning, you know, if you think it just needs to be shut down immediately, you would let us know, but you would basically say that we shouldn't do that tonight. We should let you work with Mr. Gower.
Let me work with Mr. Gower. I can't render an opinion about the status of that. All I can say is it's been operating for a long time. I can't comment on its safety or non-safety, but I can say that the action it should take is contact the engineer. We can't call him engineer of record, but he has a stamp on an opinion, and that sucker is serious.
Yeah, but if you see an imminent danger, you will notify us.
Oh, I would, to the extent that I feel qualified to look at, you know, a concrete soil structure without looking at the soils, the loading. We don't have any information.
Right, on without
any test. He brings out a concern about soil loading. Okay, and you know, soil loading is, you can't just say soil. You have to test soil loading.
And piling underneath it.
Yeah.
So a lot of docks are for water.
Yeah, so it's not easy to just make a comment. I don't feel I'd be helping anybody by doing that. So the best thing for me to do is try to get a hold of Mr. Gower as quickly as you guys, if you guys authorize it, as quickly as possible.
I'll make a motion to authorize Jack as
Speak louder, please.
I make a motion to authorize Jack to look into this deal and give us some recommendations after contact Mr. Gower.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion from the board?
Just, you will take a quick look in the morning, though?
I will look after you.
Okay. Will you let me know what time, and I'll come with you?
Okay. What's good for you?
Whatever you need.
8 o'clock? Okay.
I'd like to be there, too, Jeff. Okay. I'd like to be there on that myself.
Okay. Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Thanks to both of you for coming.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's at 8 o'clock in the morning, Jeff?
Yes.
Yeah.
8 in the morning.
F, checking Gary's email. Jan?
Oh, I'm sorry. Park Council has recommended that we assign a staff person to check Gary's email, and I'd like to move, and I've spoken to her, I'd like to move that Kim Boom be authorized to do that.
I'll make a motion that we accept that recommendation.
A second?
A second.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Vice President Barbas?
Yes.
Treasurer Thompson?
Yes.
President Christian?
Yes.
Secretary Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes.
Commissioner reports. Roy?
I don't have anything to talk about tonight.
Andy?
Okay. A little long. On Thursday afternoon, I had a long conversation with the Oregon State Marine Board talking about several issues involving the port. The first thing the Marine Board wanted to know was the status of the boat ready area and the sidewalk leading to the boat launch. So I took photos of that to show that that's clear and that the port is working on a solution to that problem there, which we're aware of. So they were glad to see that because they weren't sure of the status. We talked about the transient dock in Basin 1 next to the boat ramp, and there was some concern that we were still allowing commercial use of that dock. And I told her that commercial use had never been authorized on that dock and took a picture of the sign that said fish couldn't be unloaded off of that dock.
Which dock is that?
The transient dock, the boat launch transient dock, the temporary dock. And then the reason that that can't be used for commercial use is it was funded by the Marine Board with some grants that they got from the federal government, and it's strictly prohibited. So one of the solutions that we had talked about at a previous meeting that I'd like to move forward on is the parts of the G or H dock that aren't being used right now because they're closed because of piling issues or some of the slips are too small for most of the boats, of rearranging some of those so the people that have the live fish fishery, the black and blue permits, the smaller commercial vessels that need to offload salmon or other items could use those docks and take a cart or a wheelbarrow and have a loading zone at the top of the dock. So she said that is fine because there's no Marine Board funds tied to the general marina, just the fuel dock, the transient dock in the sport basin, and the boat launch docks. And she suggested that we apply for some of the USDA economic development grants. There's a regional grant, and that's easier to qualify for or get. It's less competitive. Or the national grant to help fund some of the changes to those docks. I've either taken a few of the fingers out and rearranging the loading zone at the top of that. There's a few parking places there that we'd probably have to take out to allow easy access for people that needed to use that to offload fish. And again, this is the smaller vessels, not the big drag boats, you know, the people that were using at times some of the other docks. Then we talked for a length of time about the grant for the loading dock or the boat ramp dock replacement. Of course, the invitation to bid is already out, and there's a deadline coming up on that. So she hadn't gotten a response from the port about the two issues with the trench drain, which is now completed, and the landscaping around the restroom. So I took photos of that and sent it to her, so that satisfied that. That was that they hadn't been informed that the landscaping was done. Then she was concerned about the fuel dock being closed, and I told her the fuel dock has been reopened. I sent her a copy of Gary's report from late December that talked about the change that was made there to, after just a couple of days, to get the fuel dock open. The Marine Board is concerned about the fuel dock because they gave a grant for the sanitary system there, and that has to be in operation. And then we talked about the use of the boat launch itself for commercial use, and the dory fishermen that come down from Pacific City that use it, or other small commercial boats. Obviously, that's the only way for them to launch. And then fishing guides who use it during the fall salmon season or during the summer. And she said that is allowed as long as people are not tying up the loading dock and they're not parking outside of a parking area. Say if they're parking for a long time in the boat ready area or just pulling into the parking lot. So that's an allowable use of the boat launch. She specifically said that fishing guides can advertise that I'll meet you at the boat, you know, they'll meet their customers at the boat launch dock. So that'd be, you're not allowed to make that your place of business. But she was satisfied with all his responses. I sent her photos of everything she asked for, and everything is on schedule with the Marine Board for the grant for the boat dock replacement. The boat launch replacement docks.
Do we need to provide her with a contact?
She wanted to know if there's an interim manager or what commissioner. So I told her there was a commissioner assigned for the outside operations as a liaison and a commissioner with the office.
would you like us to designate you to be her contact for now?
I think the two commissioners who we already assigned for the office and the outside would be adequate. She just wanted to know if an issue comes up, who to contact. And then I guess everybody's seen the information about the crab season still being delayed out of Brookings. And then up north where it is open, it looks like, unless it happened this afternoon, no price has been set yet. You guys are still waiting for the chance to crab. And of course, horrible weather as well.
Question for you, Andy. Seeing that the transient dock can't be used to offload, and the port isn't in a position to supply a public place for me to offload, how do I get fish to my market? In return, pay your rent to keep the market open.
I think right now a dock that is not tied to Marine Board funding. So the
okay. How about the crab dock down the middle jetty?
We didn't discuss that dock. I'll find that out for you though.
Off on that one. If that one's not, I can offload.
That's easier for you to use than the G or the H dock.
I can actually get a bigger boat in there. I mean, I know Rosalie, you'd have a hard time getting in there. The Endeavor would have a real hard time getting into that back where the little sport boats can get. I think if we could make that other dock work down there, that might be a better option for it. It doesn't clog up the boat ramp with the bigger boats.
Get a vehicle down there too.
Yeah, I can back a truck down there right down to the ramp, and it's a done deal. It's out of everybody's eyesight and forgotten about. But we do need to come up with a solution for that, because I have to get product into my market or you won't have a market there to pay
rent. I'll ask her tomorrow if there's any restrictions on that dock. The factor that's limiting the use of the boat launch dock or the transient dock is there's some fuel taxes and other funds that the Marine Board gets from the federal government. And if anything's, if they're not used correctly, then.
I understand that. I'm just trying to get to a solution of where do I get my fish off the dock. If I'm not a public voice, there's nowhere else for me to do it. So
I would like for Andy to take lead on this working, since he's making the calls with the Oregon State Marine Board and oversee the different issues that are coming up to report to the board for any further motions.
I'll follow up with her and follow up with you. The big thing that she stressed several times is the general marina, the Sport Basin or Basin 1 and Basin 2, there aren't Marine Board funds that are restricted that went to those, so we can use those however we want. There isn't a restriction of recreational versus commercial use.
Just opening up that, look into that, the crab dock and the center jetty, and speaking for other live fishermen, I think that would be a way easier place for us to get our fish to the truck than it would be to wheel them across the dock, up the ramp. You've got Zola's parking, you've got a cluster there in the summertime of people and traffic, and we need every parking spot we have there, and if we eliminate a couple for the loading zone, I don't think it's a good thing. And down that jetty, we have to back 300 yards down the jetty, then we have to back 300 yards down the jetty. But we won't be plugging anybody up down there.
And also, she seemed to think that if we applied for some of these USDA economic development grants, that's the purpose of those type of grants, that the port would qualify for those or be awarded that funding. Which,
yeah, I agree with that, to get the funding, but we need to find a solution between A and B from now until 3 years down the road when that public dock gets put in with the hoist.
Thank you, Russell. And Andy, a follow-up. And did you have any further comments?
No.
Thank you, Commissioner Martin.
Thank you. Commissioner Thompson.
Yes, I'd like to thank the crew for taking over and doing a good job on the outside. I check in with them a couple times a day to make sure they have any issues. So far, they haven't had any issues they haven't been able to handle. I think Travis and all the crew out there is doing an excellent job at trying to keep things going with what they have to work with sometimes. I appreciate all the hard work they're doing in some miserable weather sometimes, but they get the job done. Thank you very much.
Jan?
I don't have any comments.
I don't either. So I want to remind everyone that your comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. And I'm going to recall Bill Wood if you want to come up and make your comments now on all.
There's a couple things. Bill Wood.
Thank you.
You know, Russ is right about all this stuff. You know, and the two things I want to talk about is the unloading of fish at the dock. And, you know, for years it's been pretty damn easy. Most of these live guys are there for 5 minutes. They back their boats down, they put the fish are already on the boat, and they pull them out. How hard is that? You don't have a public hoist. You don't have any room to put a public hoist in. If you had room, which you do at the ice plant, but you've given that space away. So you don't have any room in the whole port for a public hoist. So let them run their damn boats up the dock. The other thing I'd like to talk about is that your space per foot in your, I'm not following any consistency in what you charge businesses for their square foot. I don't know what your cork and bottle thing is because I don't know what that is. The wine bar is going in. What are you going to charge them per square foot as opposed to Mike? Or BC, or all the businesses that are in town. Is it all different?
No.
It's all the same price.
It depends on the location.
If you charge them 50 cents a foot, I can't remember who it was in the first part of it, that's not what you asked me to pay.
You know what I would encourage you to do is come to our workshop.
Well, had I known when and where it was, I might.
Well, it's the 30th at 4 p.m., and we're going to be speaking about rates. This board and the previous board, I'm sure a lot of them, you know, we inherited leases that were done.
Sure,
and we
that.
Can't.
Try to make it consistent.
But that's exactly.
That's your job.
That's exactly what we've been doing. That's exactly.
So the last board, approximately 1 year ago, adopted a uniform rate structure to do exactly what you're saying. And
so you're telling me that every business in the port is paying the same per foot?
No. Leases come due, they go on to the new structure. But we can't go in and change old leases.
These people have structured their business on that square footage, and now you're changing it all to them.
Everybody's going to uniform rates.
Do you think that's good for the port or that's bad for the port? I mean, if you're charging them too much.
I think treating everyone fairly and the same across the board is what we should be doing.
This kind of fairly or this kind of fairly? Or in the middle fairly?
Bill, Everybody inside the two new buildings is charged one's rate per square foot. Dollar seven.
Which two new buildings?
The retail.
The retail.
Retail shop.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And our time is up, so please finish so that...
The shops are charged a different amount per square foot. Outside is, whether it's paved or unpaved, is charged a different amount. But they're all the same. If you got blacktop, it's 50 cents a square foot. I think. Or whatever it is.
There's a rate sheet.
The rate is on the website.
Instead of just pulling numbers out of the air.
Thank you.
There's a couple hundred.
Okay. One thing to say about Bill's comments. These leases, Bill, were being very much worked on. Mm-hmm. Very much worked on. Up till recently. They were being very much worked on to become common.
Well, you know, it's hard to get new business or old business
I understand.
To stay at the same rates and compete.
I'm just saying, now we're at the standstill, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dan Frazier, could you please step up here?
I'm more than happy, Angie.
And you want to talk about Oregon State?
Oregon State Green Board, Dan Frazier. Commissioner Martin. You addressed that the State Marine Board and feeds commercial use. What did they say that we can and cannot do and where?
They gave us a one-page definition of what commercial use is. So commercial use is a business that is fishing or taking people for profit is commercial use. And the docks at the loading docks at the boat ramp, the transient dock, and the fuel dock has some of those funds, those can't be used for commercial use. Obviously, commercial boats can fuel up at the fuel dock and use the pump out station, but the transient dock is strictly, in Basin 1 is strictly for recreational use, and the docks at the loading docks for the boat ramp are strictly recreational use.
Okay, then would you address to the Oregon State Marine Board gal that you're speaking to why I got a letter wanting to know what fees, tax-wise, I was paying as a commercial use at your fuel dock? And why they're trying to collect money for a commercial use property when I have no right to use all of the State Marine Board facilities that my monies are paying for?
What she said is if the port was going to use those docks for commercial use, they would have to reimburse those grants and they wouldn't qualify for new grants.
Okay, but you missed my question.
So the letter you got from the Marine Board is probably about how much fuel you use and how much fuel you buy, right?
That is correct. So commercial or recreational, but you are telling me as a commission tonight that I do not have the right, per the State Marine Board, to use all of those facilities.
You cannot.
So I'm asking you, when you speak to them, if you will find out from her what facilities, as a commercial fisherman, as a commercial user, I have the right to, even though I'm paying with my fuel tax all those facilities.
I'll ask her. You're allowed to use the docks. The port can determine how the docks in both marinas are used. The restrictions are tied to the transient dock and the
okay, but the again, all of my fees that you collect, whether it's a State Marine Board fees, or the fees that the port collects from fuel tax that the state that the port sells in fuel, the State Marine Board wants to know how much I have bought, so they can get the money back from ODOT or whoever's in charge of the fuel tax, and therefore use that to help pay for the grants that go into this harbor.
I'll ask her that.
Thank you very much.
I got something to say in regards to that too. So when you talk to the lady at the State Marine Board, would you please bring back to this board, are we as a port going to stop allowing commercial vessels to tie up at that dock? You said that she said no commercial boats could use that facility, the transit dock.
They sent an email to the port office that strictly said that and defined what mm-hmm. commercial use is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when a commercial vessel is at sea, it's taken on water, it's on fire, Coast Guard goes out and gets this boat, brings it in, and we don't have a slip, we're going to tow it back out to the Red Can and sink it. Here's my point. The word port, do any of you have a clue what it means?
Well, I think this is not the transient dock in the between.
Are you talking about the transient dock? Which by the
boat? This is the transient
by the boat launch.
Okay. Okay. And there's two transient docks.
Okay.
I've said several times in the sport boat basin.
Okay.
All right, Kyle Aubin, could you please come forward?
Yeah, thanks.
Doug Lewis, Port Infrastructure.
Well, several years ago, I was down here doing a lot of work for the port, and then I also spent about a year doing work on commercial fishing vessels, primarily with my machine shop. And in the process, I couldn't help but notice the severely compromised infrastructure. Everything from wiring to concrete to steel to it just looked like it's an absolute crumbling disaster. And just off the top of my head, I would say if you had $20 million right now, you would put a Band-Aid on it. And so I know you campaigned on it, it's as simple as ABC, and I'm
actually
kind of wondering,
I didn't.
You didn't? What no, was the,
well,
what did you say? I saw a big sign that said it's as simple as ABC, I believe.
So I guess what I'd like to know is what your question is.
My question is to the board, this is a pretty serious problem. I mean, this is extremely serious. This is an emergency. It's not, it's an emergency. It's a disaster on its way. A lot of it is beyond the point of no return and will have to be completely dismantled and rebuilt. Is there a plan?
Yes, please.
Thank you for coming tonight. And it's Doug Lewis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, appreciate meeting you. So you're correct about the state of the infrastructure. And the board is extremely focused on that. And we're working with Jack Aiken on a natural hazards mitigation plan, which we hope will natural hazard mitigation plan, which we hope will help us access some FEMA funding for pre-disaster mitigation that will help us get some of this moving. But you're correct, it's a very large undertaking. The board recognizes that about 900 or more jobs depend on the port. The board recognizes that I think it's about $74, $75 million of economic input in Curry County is dependent on this port. The board takes that, and I think I'm speaking for the whole board.
Absolutely.
If anybody disagrees, but we did vote on this with the natural hazards mitigation plan, and it's included in it, and it's also in our strategic plan.
So what would be your estimate of the cost of doing the repairs, and what would be your priority? What would you attack first?
What's in the natural hazard mitigation plan? Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, 27, or did he leave? I believe $27 million is the figure that we have in that. We're still working with people like David and the legislature to see if we can get more lottery bond funds or other funds in each biennium. And we are pursuing other grants with other agencies. You just heard about Andy identified a new one for us, the USDA, which I think is a really good point because we do have a agricultural type of product. So we are, that's our priority.
So you're talking about a lot of money, but specifically, assuming nobody's just going to write you out a check and say, go for it.
So
there are things, I guess what I'm asking is, what are your priorities?
So the natural hazards mitigation, I'm sorry.
And we started with the priorities that we prioritize.
We have a list of things ranked from 1 to 100 of what the priorities are for the port.
Yeah. Yes, and we do have a priorities list. We go over it annually. And then additionally, in the natural hazards mitigation plan, there are specific projects such as dredging and slope repair, dock replacements, and fuel dock,
public hoist,
erosion and drainage in the RV park area. I those are the ones that come to mind.
Where could I see a list of the priorities, or where could the public see the, okay, priority one is this, priority two, and so on and so on?
So with each agenda, we Danielle puts it on the website, and there's a full packet. So I believe it was one of the July meetings, maybe the first meeting in July, where the draft priority list came to the board. And then I don't know if it's in the minutes, the final. You know, I think if you were to come in and ask Danielle for the final, she'd probably be able to get it to you.
Oh, yeah.
She used to be asking difficult questions.
So the board went through that in July and revised it, and next July the board will do that again. And but Jack Aiken, I don't see him back there. I think he's left. But the natural hazards mitigation plan, Jack identified that the port basically will become, I can't recall the term he used, but economically not viable within 5 to 7 years, is what I think he recalled.
Or sooner. Quite a bit sooner.
We are deeply concerned. So.
Thank you. Gary Klein.
This is what happens when you lose a bet.
Gary, 3 minutes.
Okay, I have two questions now. What's the status of the $27 million grant? And hurry up, because I got a lot to say.
What $27 million grant?
I heard you guys were getting a $27 million grant. Isn't that that's false?
That's false.
And he said 27.
I said we have.
But I heard there was a $27 million grant.
Gary, do you want to let me answer,
yes,
or do you want to speak? It's your 3 minutes.
I'm losing it. No, I don't want you to answer. Okay, good evening. I'm Gary Klein. I'm the co-founder, along with Joe Spears, of a new organization, and this is a question, called the Port of Brookings Business Citizens Association. That was formed in response to the trouble that many members have experienced here at the port. There has been a recall started over the illegal firing of the manager. That's all going in right now. And it's going to cost the port a lot of money, this firing thing. Actually, I think he's at home getting paid right now. It wasn't illegal. It was illegal, I am assuming, because you hired him back. Okay, and then here's the question. I'm here tonight to ask the commissioners, Barbas, Thompson, Martin, and Christensen, to resign and save the port a lot of money with this recall and all you've done with the manager and all the, he's got an attorney, he's getting paid for the next 6 months. That's my question.
I'm going to caution the board. On the advice of Port Council, we will not be discussing this tonight.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one last. John Kehoe, and did I just answer your question? Is he still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I don't.
I'd like to know why you fired Gary. Big question. You were found guilty. You set a bad example for this whole community. You should resign.
And I will caution the board again. Thank you. That's all of our public comments. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.
Can I ask everyone a favor, please? I'm really sorry. This is so rude. But can you put your chair back over there? So I'm going to get a record.
What's up, Mike?